All right, Rob, thanks for jumping on the show, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Congrats on the record release so far.
Yeah, thanks. It feels really good to have it out. It's been sitting on it for a while, so now that it's out in the wild, it feels really good.
Yeah, I mean, you sent it to us like, man, it was a while back now. It must have been like over a month ago at least.
Yeah, I want to say it was probably sometime in April, I think. I know I think I sent it off to get mastered around March or April, and then pretty much as soon as I got it back, I just started sending it out to people.
Yeah. How did you find us before we get into you?
I was thinking about that. I think the first episode I heard from you guys was the Blast Beats vinyl episode, because I had been following that store for a while, and then I think I
Awesome
found it.
store.
Yeah, they're amazing. I have several purchases through them. Yeah, I think they posted about it on social media, and I was like, I'd really like to know what it's like to run a little online record store like that. So I listened to it. It's super insightful, but then kept following you guys, and you had a bunch of bands that I listened to on the show, like World and Woe, and then you had Barry Ann from Fia on there, and then Eiffel and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, that's
It's pretty
yeah,
much
Barry
the
Ann puts
Fia
out awesome
link.
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, her
Yeah,
label, we do love a lot of shit that comes out on her label. It's like
yeah.
we're like un we didn't try to do this, but we've done like quite a few of the bands
Now
on
that I
there,
think
like
about it, there's another one too on there that have you ever listened to Lost Hag?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening to them lately. They're pretty dope. Or she's pretty dope, I guess.
Yeah.
So how did
Yeah,
you
she's been blowing up.
link up with Fiat?
It was through Instagram. So before I put out this album, I put out a single. It was kind of like kicking off the project back in January. The single's not on the album. It was just sort of like a standalone thing. I just wanted to get it started. And so I created like an Instagram account for the project, and I was just like sharing stuff and following accounts and stuff. And I've been following Fiat for a long time. So, and like they're a label I've loved for a while. So I followed them, and I knew in my head I wanted to send them a submission, like when the album was ready, but they beat me to the punch. She slid in the DMs and was like, "Hey, this single is sick. Do you have anything coming out?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm working on an album." She's like, "Okay, I'll do the tapes." I was like, "Sick, that works."
That's great.
Damn, that works. I mean, you didn't even have to pitch your stuff to her.
Least you
I
know you're on
know.
the right path, right?
Yeah, that definitely felt good. I felt a little guilty. I'm like, damn, there's probably bands out there that are like working really hard to like send submissions and stuff, and it just like came so easy for my stuff. Like, wow.
Well, I think like I know Barry Ann's very big into Lord of the Rings, so just judging by the amount of Lord of the Rings memes that she posts,
Yeah.
and she's gonna listen to this and laugh about that, but I'm assuming since you labeled the project as Hobbit Metal, that immediately was like a selling point to her.
Yeah, I imagine that's had a big part of it too, 'cause especially like not only does she post a lot of Lord of the Rings stuff, but she posts a lot of sort of like cute fantasy sort of stuff. And if you look at Lord of the Rings, like probably like the cutest like species or race or whatever would be the Hobbits. So she probably just saw Hobbit black metal, was like, "Oh yeah, this is perfect."
Yeah, it definitely ain't the dwarves, I can tell you
Yeah.
that.
No. Yeah.
So what?
Although like dwarf women project would be super cool, because apparently they have beards and everything, so that'd
I
be
just
cool. Yeah.
literally thought I'd like Ewok metal, like that'd be pretty funny too.
Is there
Yeah.
Ewok metal?
No, but
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you were gonna spawn some project on me that I didn't
just
know
to like
about.
make my stand,
Yeah.
I'm on the Star Wars side of the trilogies.
Oh, I got
Although
you.
I have mad
Okay.
respect for Lord of the Rings, but like
Well, there's
anyway.
like Flanders metal too out
Oh, I
there.
have
Like
heard that.
the
That
oh
is
yeah,
weird.
the
The
Oakley
Oakley
Doakleys.
Doakleys, Doakleys, yeah. Then the Austrian Death Machine.
Yeah,
Oh
that's
yeah.
the singer from As I Lay
Yeah,
Dying.
yeah.
Best
Yeah.
Arnold impression ever.
Anyway, that shit's funny.
So how did you get like the idea to call your project a Hobbit metal project? Is it just as a fan of Lord of the Rings, or were you like trying to kind of go for those sounds and that atmosphere in the record?
Yeah, it started as just like a Lord of the Rings thing. So it kind of took a while for me to want to hone in on the whole Hobbit idea. Mm-hmm. So when I started writing for this project, it was just going to be generic Tolkien. But then I was just thinking a lot, and I was like, you know, there's a ton of Tolkien metal projects out there already, but you know what I haven't seen is Hobbit. Like, there's no Hobbit representation in metal anywhere, I feel like. Other than like Hole Dweller, which is, you know, like dungeon synth or comfy synth or whatever you want to call it. But I mean, that's not really like metal, you know?
Right.
And plus, like, when I think about Lord of the Rings and I think about my favorite parts about Lord of the Rings, like, hobbits are definitely a big favorite of mine. And I feel like, personally, like, if I had to be any like race in Middle Earth, I would definitely choose hobbits. I mean, those guys, they're just living in a cozy little town, drinking beer, smoking their little
peace pipe.
Exactly. Pipe weed or whatever.
Yeah. That's what it is. Pipe weed. Yeah, they call it pipe weed.
Yeah.
Pipe weed.
So yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that. So I was kind of putting those two pieces together and thinking, you know, I could probably come up with something that's like Hobbit focused, but still very metal at the same time. And it'd kind of be some sort of like uncharted territory for as far as like Lord of the Rings black metal goes.
Mm.
So that's really where the intent came from.
So like your lyrical content, as far as like what are you writing about? Because it's obviously in this genre, it's like hard to make out your lyrics. And just judging by the titles of the tracks, it's you know, obviously it's Hobbit related, but like how did you come up with the inspiration for the writing process? Like, what's your viewpoint?
Yeah, so I'll kind of answer this question in two parts. For me, it's 90% of the time the music comes before the like theme or story does. You know, like for I write a song and then I think, okay, what stories can I pull from that kind of fit the vibe of this music? But then as far as like lyrical content goes and choosing stories, it's kind of nice to have the Hobbit limitation, because then I try to really just focus on stories throughout Lord of the Rings or Tolkien's writings in general that have hobbits as like main characters in it, you know, because then it's sort of like either you're living in the experience of the Hobbit, or you could think of it kind of like hobbits that are sitting around their fireplace, like telling stories or something, you know, like, so reminiscing on the heroes of their time or whatever, you know, however you want to conceptualize it. But just being able, I mean, Tolkien has, there's so many different things you could choose from, and being able to just focus on anything that's like Hobbit related, it kind of narrows things down. And like, I'll just kind of pick a story that fits the vibe of the music. That's usually how it works out.
That's cool. Definitely the opener. We were obviously listening to it not that long ago before we jumped on with you. And the intro one, I was like marching up and down this alleyway next to the record shop. And it made me feel like I'm like walking to my fucking gallows, right? And then once the music kicks in, it's like, oh, wait, maybe like I'm like fucking up the cops or the COs or whatever and like breaking out. And that's what it gave, started like playing out this whole story in my head, man. It was like, it's pretty cool.
Cool, man. That storytelling is definitely like a big aspect of music in general that I always appreciate. And it's definitely something that I try to bring out in the stuff that I write. So like, I always like there to be a journey from start to finish. So it's cool to hear that.
It definitely
other people are actually experiencing that.
Like almost like, I kind of say it like watching a movie. Only you're listening to it, you know what I'm saying? And
right,
just kind of go on that ride with you in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you sent it and you were like, okay, I'm a one-man Hobbit metal band, I was like, okay, like, I'll check it out. I check everything out. Like, I don't care, you know, if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. But I was like, man, this might be kind of gimmicky, like pirate metal or something, like to where it's like Ailstorm, where you're just,
yeah,
or like Corplacani, or, you know, like that, some of that folk stuff gets a little gimmicky. But I had never heard anyone labeled as Hobbit metal, so I was like, well, this is definitely worth checking out. But I didn't know, like, what I was walking into. And then I listened to it through the first time, and then I sent it to Jeremy, and I was like, this is actually fucking awesome. Like, you gotta check this out.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I was expecting maybe it to be sort of, like, you know, corny, gimmicky, like, sort of playful type of thing, because I didn't know. I'm like, how do you make Hobbit metal?
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised, because I was like, this is incredible. Like, the record is really, really good. Like, I legitimately enjoy it.
Yeah, wow. I was basically like, I don't care what the fuck you're singing about. This shit, I love the way you had it recorded, and your vocals are fucking tight. I like the screechy, the high. None of the, like, the Cookie Monster stuff really isn't in there, you know?
The low guttural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's up our alley for things. And as Ryan said, almost you putting on, like, to me, putting on the Hobbit label was like, oh, yeah, now I got it.
I know.
You know, like, it almost makes, whether you want to.
Oh, it's like Castle Metal. Like, there's only a handful of Castle Metal bands. And when you hear that, you're like, yeah, this could be kind of cheesy or something. Like,
but the Hobbit thing,
all the
is
Castle,
like,
Metal bands I've heard were fucking awesome.
Like I said, it doesn't matter what. Like, you could be singing about Care Bears, dude. I'd be like, Papa Smurf, man, it's rolling in, fucking up Care Bears. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
It's cool.
And
that's,
I think,
cool,
it's,
to hear.
It's real suiting that you're a one-man band, since, like, The Hobbit's journey in Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies was particularly a one-man Hobbit thing, with the exception of, you know, a couple in the Hobbit movies that tagged along.
Yeah, but, like, helping them along the way.
Yeah. But for the most part, it was based around Frodo. So I was like, oh, that's cool that he's a one-man band. It's almost like the Lone Hobbit's, like, making his metal journey or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely, well, first of all, thank you for all the kind comments. That means a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Right on.
But yeah, that's cool for y'all to hear, because, like, the whole being gimmicky thing, I mean, that was something I was, like, really scared of when I started going sort of down the Hobbit route. Because, like, you know, I feel like most people, when they think about what Hobbit metal would be, they would think, you know, kind of like tavern, like fiddles
and
stuff, that
sure.
kind of stuff going on, you know?
That's
and
what
that
I was
like,
expecting. Yep. Like, I was expecting like a chanty, like, bar type of thing. And I'm like,
exactly.
Okay, this could be fun, but.
Like Flogging Molly, but like Hobbit.
Or like Star Wars Cantina music.
But the
equivalent.
That might be cool too, though.
Yeah.
I know.
But go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good. Those are definitely all things that, like, crossed my head, and, like, all things that I actively tried to avoid when I was, like, writing stuff, you know? But yeah, as far as, like, the Lone Hobbit sort of thing, I definitely thought about that too, because, I mean, you think about the way metal, and, like, specifically black metal, sort of fits in to the whole, like, human musical picture today. You know, it's kind of like an underdog thing, you know. It's a very sort of, like, niche genre. There's not a lot of people walking down the street you meet that are, like, huge black metal nerds or something, you know.
And I feel like at this point the term black metal is, like, heavily diluted from what it
used to be. Incredibly diluted.
100%. I'm fully expecting to get some, like, true black metal gatekeepers would be like, what the hell, this isn't real black metal. And I'm like, you're right, it's not. This is 2024. Like, things have moved on.
It's
since
real Hobbit black metal, motherfucker. That's what you tell them.
That's right. Brandywine blasphemy forever. But yeah, I think putting yourself in the context of, like, the Frodos of Middle Earth, like, Frodo is definitely, like, an outcast compared to other hobbits, you know. Like, him and Bilbo didn't really fit in to the whole greater scene, and that's why they, like, adventured off and did their own sort of thing. And ultimately at the end, you know, Frodo goes to the Grey Havens because he's like, there's nothing for me here, you know. So that definitely ties into the whole sort of intent and aesthetic to the project in general.
So you did all the instrumentation by yourself. Did you do the recording by yourself as well? The mixing, mastering, everything?
Everything but the mastering. I did all the instrumentation and vocals. All the recording was just done like at my house in my room. And then I did all the mixing myself too. But mastering is one of those things where it's like, not only is it a really good chance to get like a second set of ears on it, you know, because once you start mixing something, I mean, it doesn't sound remotely the same as it did when you first started, you know, like it just kind of sounds like a blur in your head because you've been listening to like little small sections on loop for hours at a time, trying to like get the EQ and the compression just right and stuff. So,
right. It's like when you're like smelling candles and they make you smell coffee grounds. You get so much of the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, that's like a perfect analogy, actually. Mastering is one of those things. I definitely value like not only having somebody else's opinion, but it's way more of like a, there's like a lot of magic behind the scenes with mastering. Like it's a lot of subtle moves that add up to make a very drastic change. It's
like you almost like have to have an outside set to do that.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, who did do it?
I don't know if y'all are familiar with the artist Fire Tools. They do sort of like jazz fusion with like black metal vocals and like vaporwave sort of mixed in. Very cool, very weird, like out there artist. I highly recommend if you don't know them. But they also have like a studio on the side and they do a ton of mixing and mastering. Thinking of all the like mastering services I knew off the top of my head, I was like, just hearing their production and how they bring out sort of like all the synth and the cool stuff, like that's really what made me want to choose them. Because I mean, my projects, I feel like it's kind of weird, and I have some of the like sort of Nintendo 64 sort of synthesizer sounds in there, so
yeah.
I really wanted that to shine.
Even a Nintendo 64 sample in there on the end track.
Yeah,
that little Link sample there.
Yeah, a little Zelda sample. I knew people would recognize that one. There's also a in the first track, there's like a little sword slash, and that came from a Majora's Mask sample as well.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I have to go back and re-listen to that. But the guy that did the mastering, we were talking a minute before we started, and I love how all the music is about like right even with the vocals. Like your vocal doesn't overpower it, but it's not laid too far behind, but it's just far enough back that it like kind of seamlessly floats with the music to where, because I've heard some bands just put their vocalist front and center, and I get it, they're like technically the focal point to the band, but not everybody vocal wise is Vince Neil and that important, so like, or thinks they're that important at least, because I'm not a Motley Crue fan, so but
oh, me either.
I love that it's set back to where it's almost sort of cavernous, Wayfair-y sounding, that sort of thing. It fits the music perfectly. It's not overpowering, but it's just the right amount of like vicious screaming to where it really like complements the music.
Yeah, dude. That some of my favorite albums have the vocals like kind of buried in there just a little bit, and it definitely sounds better, I think, in my opinion.
Especially
yeah.
with
black
the
metal,
synth.
It's in the synth, yeah. It's
the
like
synth
perfect.
That you have, like how it kind of, you know, it loops through, but it's just like a little bit over top. Like you can hear it, like the mids are pushed up a little or something. And it fits perfect. So the guy that did it, like, hats off to him. He did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
He did your project. Like, it's well due justice.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad y'all noticed that, because that was like definitely 100% intentional. I'm the same way. Like a lot of my favorite black metal albums, the vocals tend to be a little bit buried in the mix. And I really appreciate that sort of like wall of sound sort of thing that goes on with like sort of like the more cathartic, anthemic sort of black metal stuff. And not only that, but I think when the vocals are a little bit buried, they kind of draw you in a little bit, because like you're listening and it's like, oh yeah, like you get the music, but then it's like there's something else sort of grabbing your attention and pulling you in a certain direction. So
right.
I definitely appreciate that too.
I feel like it extends the emotion of your vocals too as well. You know what I'm saying? Like you all, like it almost, you both nod to each other, whatever instrument, you know, the guitar, the vocals, the bass, the vocal. And it's crazy like that you did all that shit yourself. So when did you start like playing music and fucking with music?
Yeah, I started, so I'm 30 now, and I started when I think I was like 7 or 8. My first instrument was actually drums. My parents, they for some reason, like they noticed that I was always like hitting on stuff growing up and whatever. So they thought that percussion would be really good. Ironically, it didn't last very long. I played drums for probably like a year or something, but it was probably a combination of just being too young and like not. I also didn't really like my who was teaching me very much.
Yeah, a big effect older guy. On it.
Yeah. So I switched to guitar when I was like 9 or 10. So I've been playing guitar for like 20 years or so now. And that's been my main thing for a long time. I didn't get into music production until probably like 2020, 2021 is when I really first started to like dip my feet into it. The first thing I produced like myself for the most part was I was in this like sort of folk black metal band that put out an album at the beginning of last year, and that was like my first big mixing project that I did by myself. But I definitely learned a lot from that, and I'm the type of guy that just like sits on YouTube and Reddit and whatever and just tries to like learn whatever techniques I can, you know.
Yep.
So definitely just a lot of stuff snowballed, added up over time, and then able to apply it to a project now. And I'm sure when I do the next one, there'll be a whole different group of tools and techniques that I apply, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
There's always room for improvement in whatever you're doing, like, especially when it comes to that. Like, you know, it's the same with us. Like, we're always trying to improve things. I'm always looking for, like, the next best software, or like what's going to make our podcast look good, or, you know, everything. Like there's always, you're never finished. Like you always want to keep going. Like, and it's the same in any type of content creation, really. Like you're always going to be trying to fit that pocket for what's going on.
Yeah. 100%. I think that's how it always should be. I mean, I feel like if you're not chasing to improve yourself in any way, then that's kind of when you have given up. I mean,
yeah, it's like when you tell yourself that you're like, oh, I can't get any better at this. Like, that's when you messed up, because, like, there's always something that you can learn. Like, you never master anything.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you get into black metal then? Because, I mean, like we were saying before, it's a pretty niche, like, fan base. And, you know, you said you're 30. Like, when you were like, dude, that's what I want to play. That's the kind of guitar sound I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. I haven't really thought about that too much. I got into extreme metal in general, mostly like more death metal, and like metalcore was really popular at the time when I was a teenager. But I didn't, black metal has been a pretty recent thing in my life. Like I really dove into it probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And that's when I really started like getting deep with it, I guess. I mean, when I was a teenager, I did listen to stuff like Emperor and Immortal and Enslaved and all
right,
that kind of
right.
stuff. Just because, I mean, they're the big names, you know?
Like, yep.
Right.
But I didn't realize how much cool underground stuff was
like
going
how
on.
Deep the hole went. I know.
Yeah,
right?
It's crazy.
Blows you away.
I think the like rapid sort of development of the internet has really contributed a lot to that. I mean, because you can find so much stuff out there now that like you never would have had access to before. At least most of the stuff I find is always through the internet.
Yeah,
now.
Bandcamp is an amazing tool.
Yeah. But I think what drew me to black metal, to as far as like wanting to play it, is I was kind of like drawing a lot of the parallels between black metal and post rock, because I went through like a big post rock thing when I was like between teenagers and like mid 20s, I got really into like Explosions in the Sky and This Will Destroy You and bands like that. But there's a lot of that sort of like tremolo picking and like big crescendos and washy textures and all that kind of stuff. And I mean this album gets a lot of hate, but that Deaf Heaven Sunbather album was like a huge revelation for me because they were sort of the big ones that like merged shoegaze and post rock and
That's a big
all that kind of
gateway
stuff.
album for a lot of people, and that yeah, people talk shit, but that album it sounds all its own and opened my fucking ears up to a lot of different shit as well.
I seen that band live right around when that came out, and I hated it. I was not
Really?
impressed. Yeah, like whoever. Well, so
That's live
in
and
for,
live's different though,
yeah.
you
So
know?
in all fairness, like whoever did their sound, it was a small venue. It should have been a big venue, but it was pretty small. I want to say like 3,000 cap maybe. And Anthrax, Lamb of God, Power Trip, and Deaf Heaven, I believe, was the lineup. There might have
Wow,
been
yeah.
one more
Yeah, they're
band.
definitely the odd one on that bill.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and they were like, it was real early on in their like, I don't know when they first came out because I never followed the band, but this must have been 2016-ish, I'm assuming, somewhere around
Okay.
there.
Yep.
I'd have to dig back and check to be 100% sure, but the sound guy, like everything was so it like reverberated everywhere. The sound was just not done well. Like they were too loud for how they had everything mixed,
Yeah.
and it was just like a constant like buzzing in your ear to where it was just not enjoyable at all.
Yeah, it sucks.
So it completely turned me off of the band because I was just like, I can't even stand. Like I went outside and like I'm usually pretty good with all that, but I was like, this is like
Yeah.
legitimately like fucking with my head, like the sound waves going in and out and in and out. Like it just wasn't done well, so I never got into them. But I often see that album listed on people's black metal lists, so it's interesting that you brought it up.
I wouldn't even call that a black metal album,
Yeah.
though. But
But like we said
Yeah, I
earlier,
think I
it's a
agree with that
diluted
too.
term.
Yeah,
Like
it, right, exactly.
what is really the defining factor that lumps you into black metal now? Because in the 80s it was anything
Yeah.
about Satan. Now, obviously that's been done 8 million times. Like, so what would it be now that puts you in that category? Like nobody knows. You can just call yourself that really if you wanted
Yeah,
to.
I think if it still makes people uncomfortable, kind of like punk, you know, it's the same kind of encompassing. Doesn't that make, you know? Because
I
black
guess.
metal still makes people uncomfortable no matter what you're saying.
Yeah, but I would call, like your project, Rob, I would call a lot more black metal than what I would call a Deaf Heaven
The
project.
fucking like a million times, yeah, for
But you
sure.
have more of that
Traditional sound.
icy atmospheric sound where everything's, there's not a ton of low end to it. Like it's there, but it's not the main focal point. So everything sounds a little more icy, as I always like to describe it. But to me, like that's the black metal that I love,
Yeah.
like Immortal and Stormkeep and like Emperor, like that sort of thing that has that ice, like you're storming castle gates type of feel. I like that stuff. So to
Oh
me,
yeah.
like you fit into black metal much more than what I would constitute a Deaf Heaven record.
Yeah, I think so too. I definitely think probably like what actually defines black metal is probably like a combination of what both you guys said is probably the primary thing, you know? I mean, I agree with the whole like making people uncomfortable thing. Like there definitely has to be that sort of element of I don't want to say edginess because that kind of comes across a little cringe, but
For lack of a
you know what I
better
mean. Like
term,
it's just
right? Yeah, I get
yeah,
what you mean.
exactly. But then like you're saying, I think a huge part of it and a huge part of what draws people to the genre is the atmosphere. And it, like it's got to be that sort of like cold, almost evil sort of thing going on. You know, like if you're not thinking of creepy castles and like swords and that kind of thing when you're listening to black metal, then it's probably not black metal, you know?
Yeah, I guess like the term in black, it's got to be so about something dark, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Or sound that way anyway.
But I was gonna
Yeah.
say, like, that style of black metal doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. Like, it makes me comfortable because I like all those melodies and stuff. Like, So it kind of has the opposite effect on me. But I completely understand what you mean by uncomfortable. Like, because if you were to take like a lo-fi like Dark Throne record.
Yeah, I just mean to the general public, not to the weirdos like us.
No, I get 100%. Yeah. I get what you mean.
I'm glad you brought up that exact point though, because that's something I forgot to mention when I was talking about the Hobbit thing too, though, because such a big part about being a Hobbit is like being comfortable. And I remember having a conversation with a friend about this, and like, I think the overwhelming consensus with like people who listen to like extreme forms of metal is that while you're listening to it, it's a very comfortable experience, you know, like you're not unhappy when you're listening to it. You're like, wow, this is very extreme. But like, you listen to metal when you're when you're happy, you know, like when you want to have a good time, like at least that's how it is for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's what
sure.
I throw on when I'm in a good mood, you know? So I kind of like that idea that something that seems super uncomfortable and harsh to like the general public is actually bringing a lot of comfort to a lot of people. And so that's something like I really wanted to like showcase with this album. And I think that's what like a Hobbit would do if they were making metal in Lord of the Rings. So I'm glad you brought that up.
So how many different instruments did you play on the project?
That's a good question. I guess it kind of depends on what you consider playing an instrument, but
I'm assuming like drums are programmed, I'm guessing.
Yeah, drums
but
are programmed.
I mean, to me, like that still takes some level of skill. Like, not just anybody can program drums to make it sound how yours do. And
for sure.
There's been plenty of other records that have surprised the shit out of me that had programmed drums, one being this Majesty's record behind
it. Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's still, I mean, technically you're not like banging on drums, but it's still a level of skill and effort that you have to put in. So to me, it's still playing something.
Yeah, definitely. I'll talk more about the drums in a second, but to answer your first question, I think all the instruments added together, it would just be guitars, vocals, bass, drums, and then just like I'll just lump synthesizers all in one, but there's multiple layers going on usually. But as far as like the stuff that's like done live, like by me in person, like I guess it would be guitars and vocals. The bass is actually programmed too. It's by programmed, I mean, I'm sitting there with like the piano roll open on the DAW and just drawing in all the notes where they need to be, you know. And the bass is something I could have done if I wanted to, but I just don't own a bass. So I was like, just for simplicity's sake, I mean, bass isn't really like super present in black metal anyway. So if I can get something that sounds like 80% of the way there, I'm happy with it, you know.
Yep. You did a good job, man, with the vocals for sure, like we were saying.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Especially, this is actually my first time like recording harsh vocals or anything at all. So, and I was like a little nervous about it, not going to lie, because I'm just like, what if people just think this sounds like absolute garbage, you know? But the benefit of black metal is you get to throw a ton of reverb on it and bury it in the mix like we talked about earlier.
So it can hide things. Yeah, you got to love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So when you're writing, or when you were writing this stuff, did you like put yourself in any certain type of setting? Like, did you play all the Lord of the Rings movies like while writing this stuff, or like,
oh man,
slap some hair on your feet or something? Like,
right. You're gonna have to pay to find that out. No, I'm just kidding.
go to my OnlyFans.
Yeah, you got to go to my Feet Finders.
Only
page
my
find
only
out.
Feet page.
Yeah.
My only feet.
Oh god.
Disgusting.
There's got to be like Rule 34 Hobbit content out there, but I don't want to think about that right now. Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I mean, I usually watch Lord of the Rings at least once a year, probably two times a year. I think I was actually, I remember now. When I first started writing this stuff, which was in 2021, I was doing my second read through of The Silmarillion, which is like for those unfamiliar, it's like another J.R.R. Tolkien book, and it sort of goes over the history, at least part of it goes over like the history of like how Middle-earth was created and like how the different races came to be. And then aside from that, it's like a collection of like a bunch of short stories that take place in Middle-earth. That's actually where I grabbed the name from too, because I was reading The Silmarillion, and there's this whole passage about Lammoth, and I was like, whoa, that sounds black metal as hell. I'm definitely going to use this as my band name. But yeah, it was definitely a combination of I was reading the books, I was watching the movies, and then I always like to I didn't want to like make all my influences come from Lord of the Rings, so like there's definitely a lot of influences from like video games I was playing at the time and just like other music and movies. A good friend of mine that like he's actually the guy that did the album artwork. He always tells me never start a project with a blank canvas, and I think that's some of like the best advice I've ever heard. Like you've got to you're all everybody's always drawing their inspiration from somewhere. So like just pulling things up and like listening to the right kinds of things and putting yourself in that mindset, I think is a really good way of forcing yourself into a good creative flow.
No doubt.
Yeah, I'm glad you answered yourself about where the name came from, because I was going to ask
Oh,
that anyway.
nice.
Is it an area, or is that like a race of people, or what is it?
Yeah, so it is an area, and the area is named after a cry of anguish that was given. So there the let me backtrack a little bit. In the Silmarillion, the main antagonist of basically all of Middle-earth is this guy named Melkor, also named Morgoth. He's sort of like above Sauron, if that puts you just to put it in context, I guess.
Which there's a band named Morgoth too.
Yeah, there's Morgoth. Yeah. That's the other thing too, is finding a Tolkien band name that isn't taken already.
Yeah, there's so
All the
many
good.
out there that people
Oh my
probably
God.
don't even know that that's where it came from.
I know. Yeah, 100%. Especially like even bands like Amon Amarth, like their name comes from Lord of the Rings, and they don't sing like none of their songs are about Lord of the Rings. It's all
Oh, it's
Viking
all
stuff, you know?
Norse mythology stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so in the story, the name the Silmarillion, it comes from there's these like gemstones that's made by this elf called the Silmarils, and they capture this like basically like majestic like deified light, I guess is the best way to put it. And Melkor slash Morgoth is like really interested in those. He wants those for power essentially, so he steals them and then basically destroys a bunch of stuff in the process. And then his sidekick is this giant spider named Ungoliant, which is Shelob's mother. That's where that the first track name comes from. But she tries to take him for herself. So she actually tries to eat Morgoth. And in that process, he gives out this scream, which like summons Balrogs and everything to like come to his aid. And that scream is called Lammoth, which I think in one of the dialects of Elvish translates to basically Great Echo. And
Okay.
essentially the scream was so loud that it was like reverberated throughout Middle Earth, and
It's a good band name
appropriate.
for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think it really describes like sort of sonically what's going on with black metal, and there's a lot of like sort of just like evil connotation behind it. So I was like, okay, this sounds cool, kind of fits with my sound, and it's from Tolkien, and nobody has it, so I'm gonna use this.
Yeah, definitely. Good call.
Yeah, no, it does complement the sound, the lore of everything. So what about the artwork for the record?
Yeah, you said a
Obviously,
friend did
that's
it. Well, who did it?
Yeah, so it's my friend. His name, his IRL name is Sean, but he goes by Ramza Illustration. You can find him on Instagram or ArtStation, I think, is a big website that he uses to get commissions and stuff like that. But he's a really good friend of mine. We have like tons of similar music tastes. Like usually when we hang out, we're just like drinking beer and talking about music most of the time. But we're both into the same kind of nerdy shit, like video games and stuff. So there's a lot of overlap, and he does a lot of like really sort of like dark fantasy gothic style art. So I had been he's been kind of involved with this project since I started it,
That's
and we
cool.
just threw ideas back and forth for the artwork, and yeah, that's sort of how that started.
Yeah, because it's taken from, I mean, that's obviously, is it Bilbo or Frodo?
Frodo,
Okay,
yeah.
that's what I thought. I was going to say one or the other, but I was like, I don't
Yeah.
remember which one's which, but I mean, I know which one's which, but as far as the picture went, but I
For
could tell
sure.
right by the orc sword, the elvish blade or whatever that he had. I knew
Yeah.
right away that was that. So obviously that falls in with the Hobbit thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Yeah, or sorry, go ahead.
no, go ahead, man, because I was going to transition from there.
Oh, okay. I was just gonna talk about like why I chose that particular scene.
Yeah, go ahead.
Originally, when I was talking to him about doing the art, this was like long before I imagined anybody was gonna pick this up on tape or anything. So originally, I was just gonna release each song as a single. And so I wanted a piece of artwork that I could sort of divide up and have each corner sort of like be the cover art for the single release. And just as a way to kind of like stay present on social media and Reddit and all that kind of thing. 'Cause honestly, for underground artists, like if you're not like putting stuff out consistently, it's really easy to just sort of fall off the radar with how much stuff is coming out there.
Oh yeah, for sure. You got to be on that like every day, like putting your
Yeah.
product in people's faces.
Exactly. So this was going to be like a sort of staggered release where each song was just going to come out a month apart from each other. And then at the end, it would just be like a full EP you could download somewhere or something. But I wanted each corner of the artwork to represent a different song on the EP. So each corner actually represents a song. Like there's obviously the spider represents the first track, and then the moon represents the second track, the castle, the third track, and then the hobbit, the fourth track.
That's cool
Just
as
for some
fuck.
more like deep insider lore on the cover art.
Yeah, that's cool because I wouldn't have known that all that was tied into there just by
Yeah.
like first glance.
So you could make like a limited edition like box set like that.
Yeah, we talked about how cool it would be if like with the if I had the resources, I could put each single out on like a 7-inch. And then
Yeah.
you could collect all four corners, and then you could like hang it up and have the whole thing displayed. That would be so sick.
Yeah, that'd be
Yeah,
sick as fuck.
that's the Taylor Swift marketing. She does that.
Yep. Oh
Yeah.
God, yeah. All her different variants and stuff
Yeah.
clogging up the vinyl pressing plants.
One of them made a clock. Like if you put the four together, it makes a whole clock. And
Oh,
then I think
nice.
another one did something else. But yeah, every time she has four different variants. So,
It's cool, but I hate that it's her doing
yeah.
it.
And I just hate that it like. It's fine, you know, whatever. She has her fan base. I get it. She's huge. But I just hate that it, at the expense of like whoever else was releasing that week, probably has some sort of delay
Oh.
or some issue or suffered some type of like, whether it be major or minor loss, just due
Yeah.
to her record using like every pressing plant's
Yeah, like
resources.
how she just bumps
Yeah.
people out of the line.
Yeah. And they'll do it too.
100%.
Like they'll just be like, "Oh, we need, you know,
Yeah.
this plant's doing 250,000, this plant's doing 100,000. We need to make a quota of 1 million. So we got 10 plants putting out all these on overtime." And then, you know, like yeah, it goes the whole. I haven't seen it happen with Taylor Swift yet, but when Adele did it, she had 500,000 copies of her record pressed. You could buy
Oh
them.
yeah.
You can buy them wholesale right now for like $5.
I know. They were like on clearance shelves in Walmarts and stuff. I remember seeing all the stuff about that.
Yeah.
It is
And such a
crazy.
I
waste.
think
I
eventually
know.
it'll happen with Taylor Swift, but not yet.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, as far as this project goes, do you have plans to play shows or anything like that? Like, how would that work with just you?
That's a good question. I am sort of working through the logistics on how I would do that. 'Cause I definitely want to play shows. I'm still just sort of figuring out how it would work. But I think ideally I would just not to like not because I want to be the center of the stage or anything, but I think I would just want to keep it a one man thing. And
I would
I would just
too,
sort of,
because that's how the
yeah,
band is.
exactly. And like that, I mean, I am a bit of a control freak when it comes to like artistic stuff, I
least
guess.
you're
So
honest.
yeah, I will not deny that.
Are you real
As you should
short
be.
by chance so you could play a hobbit on stage?
Oh,
I'm
that's a
not
good
really
idea.
short, but I do wanna like
Just put
sort
some
of
feet on your knees and lean down.
that would be funny. Like that would be kind of cool. I could put feet on my knees and like put a box under it or
Yeah,
something.
like puppet show style.
Yeah. I used to have these like back when, do y'all remember that website ThinkGeek that sold like sort of
Yeah.
like nerdy
Yep.
paraphernalia and stuff? I had a pair of slippers that I got from them that were like hobbit
Hobbit
feet,
feet. Yeah,
but
I've seen those.
that would be pretty ridiculous on stage for a black metal
That
show.
would
That
be.
would float more into like the gimmicky territory where people would be
Yeah.
like, oh, I'm about to be at like an Alestorm show or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who does dungeon synth. His name's Tristan, but his dungeon synth moniker is Elevalon, and
Oh.
he dresses up like a barbarian of some sort, kind of like when he's on stage. But I know, like, I talk to him pretty regularly. Like, he was in the gym, like doing like a strict workout to try to get like barbarian style
Oh,
jacked and stuff. And like, you can go on his Instagram and see him playing shows. But he does it, man. Like, he's a one man band and he does it all himself too.
sick. Yeah, I definitely think it can be done. It's more of just like figuring out what I want to like split up. Like, what do I want to actually perform live? What do
Right.
I want to just have as a backing track? Or what can I trigger as like a MIDI loop or something? And then I'm still getting over the hurdle of like performing vocals and over doing instrumentation
Yeah.
also, because that's also something I've never done before. Like in the studio, it's a lot easier because you could just sit there and focus on the vocals, and if you screw up a take, you just wipe and start over, you know. You don't have to perform the whole thing at one time, you know.
Yeah, but live, you're on the spot. Like you either
Yeah.
get it or you don't.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's definitely something I am figuring out, and it's probably something I'll rehearse like in my space here for a while before I decide to actually play a show. But it's definitely on my radar. I definitely want to do that.
That'd be cool.
Where are
Hell
you
yeah.
based out of?
I'm in Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay. Is there
Yeah, it's
much
like
of a music scene around there?
yeah, probably outside of like the major cities in North Carolina, it's probably like the most arts like centric city, so because of that there's a lot of like live music and stuff that comes through.
Okay.
As far as like heavy music goes, I think Asheville sort of has more of a focus on like stoner doom, which I mean, there's some cool stuff out there, but it's really not like my primary thing that I enjoy the most. But there's like a decent black metal scene and stuff. So I think the more like black metal bands and death metal bands that like start to form here and play shows, I think it'll be really good, 'cause there's a lot of people that are wanting that stuff. So
Yeah. I feel like you remember Anonymous, Jeremy?
yeah.
I feel like they were from North
Yeah,
Carolina.
I was when you say Asheville, I know a couple people that live there, and I hear it's like a nice place to live.
Yeah.
And that it was like kind of like an artsier town.
My sister lives in North Carolina, but I don't know how close she is to Asheville. I can't remember the name of the city that she lives in. Boone, I think.
Oh, Boone. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's pretty close. It's right along the, so we're right up against the Appalachian Mountains, and Boone's just about like a couple hours north following like the ridge line.
Okay. So this record, you have it coming out on tapes pretty soon, right? I always say record and album, you know. But I seen,
Yeah.
did it already release or is the tape drop upcoming?
Yeah, the tape release came out synonymously with the record, which was
Okay.
yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, so tapes are available. They're live on Fia's Bandcamp right now.
Awesome. And do you plan, are you just running with just tapes right now, or do you plan to do CDs, or I don't know, you couldn't fit this on a 7-inch, it's too long.
Yeah, and it's probably too short to go on like a 12-inch or something.
You could get a 10-inch, but
That's true.
they don't sell for shit, I'll tell you that.
I know, and I bet you it's more expensive to do that because the demand is so much less for them.
Yep.
Yeah, I think just sticking with tapes for now. We'll kind of see where things go, how quickly these sell, you know, and go from there. Obviously, if I started playing shows and stuff too, it'd be nice to have some stuff to sell at the table in the back or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, having like merch and all that stuff. Have you done any merch as far as shirts and stuff yet go for Lamoth?
Not shirts yet, but I'm working on that. If I can figure out if there's like a high enough demand for it. It's one of those things that just like the physical stuff where it's like if I'm not playing shows, I don't know how well they would sell just online, you know? So, I did get some stickers made, some nice like holographic stickers.
Oh, that's cool.
Those are going out with the tapes, and then I've got a bunch that I'm just sort of like giving out and throwing up in punk bathrooms around town.
Sticker slapping random stuff, yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So do you have any plans to put out another project under this name? Like, you gonna make your own sort of Hobbit trilogy with this?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely plan to keep moving forward. I have started working on the next project, which I'm hoping will be a full length. I think that would be the smartest thing to do. I have a concept for it and I've written the first song for it. But I have no idea when I'll finish that. But that's all I'll say about that for now, I guess. But yeah, definitely plans for future releases on this project.
This one that you just put out, you said you started in 2021, so it took you about 3 years total.
Yeah, but definitely not like continuously. There was a lot of hurdles and just random things I was getting through. So now that I have a good system, like I there was definitely a point in time where I had to say, okay, I'm going to put this record out. So I really kicked myself into gear and started working on it. So now that this one is out, I think it'll kind of like light a fire in me to just keep on releasing stuff, I think.
It's like if you make a deadline, you're like, okay, now I gotta meet it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. That's what I have to do for myself. 'Cause it kind of like going back to the conversation we had earlier about always finding room for improvement and wanting to make things better. That's definitely like a problem as an artist that I'm like, okay, this could always be better, but that's always going to be true. So if you make that an excuse for yourself, you'll just never release anything. So
Yeah, you always go
I
in
had to just
circles.
like, yeah, exactly. So you do have to just kind of like put your foot down and say, nope, I'm going to finish this. So I definitely recommend giving yourself deadlines. At least it works for me.
Yeah, I feel like I would have that problem if I were in a band. I would like after I put something out, I would probably never listen to it again, 'cause then
Oh.
I'd be picking out random shit that I'm like, oh, I should have changed that and this and that. Could have done that differently. This should have went here. This track should have went before that one.
Would
Like
drive
whatever.
yourself fucking
It'd drive
crazy.
me nuts. So I'd just be like, it's out there. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, whatever, don't buy it. But I would probably just be like, it doesn't exist to me outside of that, you
Yeah.
know, I made it.
No, 100%. And I think that's like a healthy mindset to have, because I mean, especially for me, like doing all the mixing too, like I've heard this so many times. I'm pretty like sick of hearing these
Oh,
songs, you
sure.
know? And I definitely don't like hear them the same way that people who are hearing it for the first time are going to experience it. So I can't let that like opinion of it influence like my decision to put it out or release it or whatever. And plus, like you think about the bands you know and love, like they all have albums that are your least favorite, you know? Like not everything is going to be a magnum opus and going to be a masterpiece. So you always have to remind yourself of that too, and just know that like as long as you're being true to yourself and like not selling out or cutting corners, then like you're being what an artist should be, you know? For
Yeah, there's
sure.
very few bands out there that have a whole perfect discography.
Yeah.
Like Death is the immediate one that I can think of.
Yeah,
But
that's the one that jumps to my head too.
even with them, like there's, you know, I don't like Scream Bloody Gore as much as I like Symbolic, or but that doesn't
Yeah.
mean that it's not a great record still. It's just, you know, what I prefer in the music. But
Yeah,
I
exactly.
guess you gotta have, to me, in order to have your magnum opus, as they call it, or your number one record in your catalog, you gotta have a record that doesn't meet those expectations to have that contrast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Because if everything's just perfect, you're like, oh, well, they did nothing but perfect material their whole entire career. Like, even the most talented of people have put something out bad. Like, Prince has had bad records.
Yeah.
You know, and
Tons of
that's
bad records.
subjective, but like, yeah, Iggy Pop has a
Yeah.
ton of bad records. Like, just some that are absolutely awful, actually, and I hate saying
that's
that
true.
About
I know,
them, but like
I know.
Some of them are just terrible.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. Like contrast in general is definitely like super important. I mean, think about like eating like a McDonald's cheeseburger every day of your life, or even ugh. Eating like the fanciest steak dinner, like or whatever, every day
I
of your life. Like you would get sick of it.
Dinner for sure.
Oh well, for sure, but. At some point, you would get very
yeah,
sick.
At some point, you're like, damn, I want that cheeseburger.
Yeah, you want that McDonald's, you know?
Yeah. I'd be resisting the temptation.
Like, that one of them rubber bands.
I mean, I swear, dude,
wrist.
If I eat that shit, I feel like mentally and physically like disturbed and yeah. Like
it's
I fucking... gotta fucking go to bed and like, ugh.
Because it's poison to your body.
It is,
man.
Dude.
Like,
it is, yeah.
Shit's... There's a reason it makes you feel sluggish and makes you feel like shit.
Did you hear about the supersize
yeah.
me guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I knew that motherfucker would be dead in his 50s.
Shit, got him.
Yeah.
There ain't no way you could do that as a career and have a long life.
I know.
Because he made a few of them, like, with different fast food places and shit, like, or different types of food or something like that. Like,
yeah, he kind of did, like, a show or went on to do a show,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But that's not here nor there. But before we start getting to the end of things here, and asking like the question, is there anything that you want to get off your chest or plug or add or?
May I
not
add
really.
Add
just go buy a tape, support underground black metal, go to shows, you know, typical stuff.
Yeah. Well, what were you about to say, Jeremy?
I was going
to
say that the tape, looks good from, Barry Ann. It's like a translucent blue looking. It's fucking badass. So
if it's the
yeah,
album, the
you
album
should
cover
anybody
sure.
out there, shit for $10, you get some kick ass stickers and a hard copy of Tales of Treachery. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's a steal if you ask me. She also has a cool like subscription program where you pay like it's like $7 a month or something on her Bandcamp, and you get
everything,
all the digital discography. I think you get a tape a month, or not a month. It's like a tape a quarter or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a tape club kind of. It's almost
yeah,
like
exactly.
a Third Man Vault, because they do like every few months they send you like a new thing.
Yeah, I think it's killer. I mean, and she's got hundreds of releases on there, from black metal to cozy synth and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, when we first found her label, like I'm trying to think of what the first band we did off that. I want to say Weld and Woe was the first Fiat band we did.
Yeah.
And I was going through, looking through like all the artists, because I'm like, well, what else is on here? And then like I found like EFL and other stuff that we also interviewed. But yeah, her lineup is huge. I mean, there's a huge catalog there. So for that's a smart business move on her end, like to have that subscription service. But I mean, when we talk to her, like this isn't her first rodeo in doing this stuff. So like she knows
yeah.
what she's doing.
Yeah, she's super smart. It makes sense.
And she's like, I mean, it's something that she's interested in. So it's not just work. So like it's there's
yeah.
passion behind it. So like there's care that goes into the releases, to the promotion, to everything. So that's awesome to see from her. And great.
Yeah,
for
100%.
Like, great for people like you who are, you know, in business with her or well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Handshake agreement type of business thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way I would have the level of exposure that my project has now, or like have the opportunity to have something on a physical release, if it wasn't for someone like her coming along and like recognizing the project, you know. So eternally grateful, and it has to come from somebody like her that's actually interested in the genre and the music and genuinely cares, you know. Like you can tell it's not really a business at all, you know, it's just a passion.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I really liked about interviewing her, was it is, you know, she has a business mind for it, but her heart's in it too. So
yeah, exactly.
That makes for the best of labels.
Yeah,
if
it's
it,
a
once
good,
it becomes work,
lose
then,
money, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, but I mean, more power to her, man.
You got to do that in music sometimes, man. Like you got to sometimes
yeah.
you got to bite the bullet, and then later on down the road it might work out or it might not make you anything, but really it's about getting it out there and having people exposed to it and hear it and actually be able to get to it and find it in the chaotic mess of releases that there is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's from my perspective, that's like all I'm trying to do is just maintain. Like if I can just, I'm not trying to make money off this stuff at all, you know. It's just like I just want to be able to keep doing it and putting stuff out and for people to listen to it and like relate to it, you know, just have similar experience. That's, to me, that's what like metal and music is all about, really.
Yeah, well, we both loved the project. Like, we think it was awesome. Like I said earlier, I thought it might be gimmicky, but it is. I don't think it's gimmicky at all. Like, maybe the most gimmicky thing would be the Zelda sample, and that fit in great. Like, I thought it tied in nicely. So to me, I was like, oh, that's a cool little touch there. Like, so, you know, good job to you. Congrats on the release. You did
Yeah,
a
dude.
fucking awesome job, man. Like, we both thoroughly enjoy it.
It's like he sent that to me, and I was like, we gotta talk to this dude, you know, for sure. So
That's
I'm glad
awesome.
we got to. I'm glad I got to meet you and have you on our show, man.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
before we start to wrap things up, we got one more question for you, and you already know. But
Yeah.
so outside of your genre of music, what is something that you listen to that people would not expect?
Yeah, so I listen to a ton of music. I've been thinking about probably what the most like out there thing is as far as like being far away from black metal. I'll probably give two good examples. One of them, I don't know how familiar you are with like electronic music sort of genre label tags, I guess, but there's a genre of electronic music called happy hardcore. And
I never
there's
even heard
this.
that. I got nothing.
Okay, so look up just the genre happy hardcore, and then there's a specific artist I listen to called God, why am I having a brain fart right now?
Because you're on the spot.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Syntheon. They're called Syntheon, and
Cynthia.
a lot of times they have this playlist on their Spotify, and it's just like their full discography. They don't really have albums, it's just like singles and stuff. So I'll just like shuffle that. And it's like very like cutesy, like sort of weeby anime electronic sort of music. That's probably the farthest thing from black metal that I listen to. But honestly, I enjoy it just as much, you know?
Fucking A, man. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's probably my main rec. My second rec will be, there's a band called Anamanaguchi, and they do like chiptune sort of like video game sound music, I guess. But it's like very well written and like very artsy. It's not just like, it doesn't sound like you're listening to like the Pac-Man soundtrack or whatever, you know? It's like
Yeah,
actually.
it's not like 8-bit music.
Was gonna say, yeah, is it
Yeah.
closer to like a 64-bit style or?
It's kind of a mixture of like there's 8-bit, 16-bit, and like it's 64 stuff, but it's like all that sort of like lo-fi video game
Yeah, dude.
like sound design on top of like they have like an actual drummer and a bass player and they play guitar. So there's
Oh,
like,
right on.
yeah.
I got
They're
that
super,
down.
super cool. Yeah.
Cool. Soundtrack video game shits, I love that stuff. Like that's
Oh
another
yeah.
secret passion.
Same. I listen to a ton of video game soundtracks.
Yeah, there's a lot of great ones out there. Doom's the one that immediately comes to mind
Oh yeah,
always, but
especially for
Castlevania.
metal.
Yeah. And like Elden Ring too had a great soundtrack. Just like
Yeah.
the champion style, like over accomplishing, like storming down, kicking ass
Yeah.
type of thing. I love that sort of shit. Heroic.
Oh yeah.
But all right, man. We appreciate you jumping on the show. It's been awesome getting to talk to you. We're sorry about the rescheduling wait that we had for a
Oh.
minute there, but it's been hectic at the store here. So before we sign off, congrats on the release. We'll have all your Instagram and everything like that in the episode description for people to follow. So you know, follow Lamoth, follow Fied Records, buy the tape, support it, check it out at the very least. Fucking awesome. I love it, man. So good job.
Well,
Peace
thanks,
out, Rob.
guys.
Yeah, super happy to be here and really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thank you, man. You enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be in touch with you soon.
Thanks. Same to you guys.
All right.
Later.
Late.